It's sort of sweet. So the seventh ikar of the ikrim. Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu al Hashalom, and that is believing Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. So the sixth ikar was believing in Nevuah. No, you want these. Mm-hmm. Over there, that sheet. Then later
on, it's on the back. We have these on the back over here.
Oh, you have it at the back. Ah, I see.
That's what I was saying.
Okay, it is in the back. All right. Okay, good. It's together. Fine. V'hu she'na'amin ki hu aviyim shol kol ha'neviyim asher melefanav asher kam me'achrav. We need to believe that he's the father of all neviyim before and after. Kulam im tachta b'mayla, all of them on a lower madrega. Now, let's take this a little bit, and let's chew on a drop. The first yisod is, the Rambam here is dealing only with ikrim, fundamentals. There are many true things. Shlomo was the wisest of all people. Avram was a big maimon. There are a lot of wonderful things, and you have to believe because it says in the Torah. So that's not something that is an ikr. More than that, we don't find any focus on saints. We don't worship saints. The believing on how great Moshe Rabbeinu was can't be an end unto itself. That's obvious. So the simplest answer is that if Moshe Rabbeinu is not the greatest of all Nevi'im, then it's very likely that somebody will come along and say, my Nevuah has overridden Moshe's Nevuah, which is exactly what many people did. Yeshu did that, and Muhammad did that, and John Smith did that. So if you don't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu supersedes everyone else's Navi, everyone else's Nevuah, then it's possible for everybody to come along and override his Nevuah. The only way we can have a hard and fast Torah is when we know that it's final. If there's no finality to it in that sense, it's interesting. The Muslims call their man the Hotam, the Chaysim, because they also need, everyone's got to make sure that no one's going to come and open up a new business on the embassy or the ashes of the old one. But so that's the obvious reason why it's an ikur. So that it's not possible to change in any way. But then the lashon here is shenamin ku aviyim shall call neviyim. The word aviyim, it's hard to be medayik so well because it's a translation from Arabic. I don't know what the original was, but it certainly doesn't sound as if he's the final navi. He's the greatest. The word aviyim is interesting lashon. And then he says, anyone that was there before him, he's greater. Why is that important? I guess somebody can come along with a manuscript of an earlier Navi, and Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov were on board, were on the same page. No problems with that. So why do we need to have Moshe bigger than the earlier ones? He also says, kulam him tachta b'mayla. They're not in the same madrega. He obviously means in the vur. A person can say whatever he wants. Yitzchak was a bigger tzaddik than Moshe. That's not a problem in Kriyamuna. But you talk about Nevuah, they were all underneath him. So why does he need to have that before and Tachto B'malo? So I think the pshat is, it's not the pshat. It's not a question of who is a bigger mumcha. Moshe Ma Dova Daima. If you have two professionals, one is a greater mumcha than the other one, that doesn't dafka mean that the greater the bigger mumcha is absolutely right all the time. It says probably there's a probability that he's right more often than the other one, but it's not absolute. So if the point of Moshe being greater than other Nevi'im would be that he's greater, it's not like that in halacha. You don't pass like the greatest one of the I mean, many people consider the goyim the greatest. We don't always pass like the goyim, and many times we don't. There's a certain Masoras and Halacha. So if Moshe should be the greatest Navi, that's not enough. What the Rambam is saying, and I think he has a lot of support for it in the Pesukim, it says, Navi Kamoini Yakim Kibecha, Neviim receive their Nevuah from a step after Moshe has his Nevuah. It's so to speak, if let's say, let's say a gas station gets its gas from Shell, and Shell goes out of business, the gas station can't have... If you have two gas stations, one is bigger than the other one, sometimes the small guy can have, if the big guy doesn't have. But if one guy is a supplier, there's no way that the client that gets from that supplier can have the supplier doesn't have. There's no rebula shaner b'chiminola. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in terms of the dargis of Nevuah, it's a flow. Moshe Rabbeinu is at the top of that. He's at a certain peak. Everyone else gets Nevuah from him. Like when he made the Shimus Kanim, he was Matzil. And therefore, it's not the pshat that since he's greater, he probably knew better than the other Navi. Because that always leaves room for, okay, maybe in this case he was wrong. In terms of the hashpah of Nevuah in the world, Moshe stands at a higher point, and it's an impossibility for a Navi to upend him. So therefore, it makes no difference before or after. Moshe Rabbeinu is at a darg of Nevuah that is substantially different than anybody else. It's not greater, it's a whole different world. And therefore, Asher Mulfanav, Asher Kama Achrav means it's not just a mikra that he happens to be greater than anybody's going to come. He's at a different point, and therefore it makes no difference who.
Timeless, like the Rabbanu Shlomo is timeless? Or when you say, you know, does it make a difference before or after? I mean,
It's timeless because it's in the flow chart. It's just like when I say, when I say that the water company gets the supply of water before I do, it's because my supply comes from them. If I say my neighbor gets it before me, it's a mikra. Like he pays more for his water, he gets the water delivered first, but it could be otherwise. But the water company and me, it can't be because my water is only there as a hemshech of that. So Moshe Rabbeinu is as if it's on a higher place in the Madrega.
But there wasn't a world before Moshe Rabbeinu.
Correct. But it drew from the same point that Moshe would personify later. In other words, Moshe tapped into it on a much higher darga. So nobody's tapping in where Moshe tapped in, and b'meila, their nevuah can't have any milus over Moshe's nevuah. So even the people who came later, earlier, were tapping in at a lower place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpah. Maybe that's what you're asking. Yes, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpah. Moshe tapped in at a place that no one else ever tapped in before or after.
So Snapchat, Moshe's the supplier.
Correct.
It's just that he's higher up on the totem.
That's exact. The supplier is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe is at a place, so if Moshe's Nevuah is different than their Nevuah, the problem lies in their Nevuah, not in his Nevuah.
Does that leave open the possibility of someone being higher up than Navi than Moshe? Because it's a question of where in the totem pole do you tap in?
So on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he's the only one I ever put there. Okay. It's not a question of the personal darga alone or only.
How does this work with the ninth ikkar? No, if we have the ninth ikkar, that Alein lahosiv menein legraya.
So let's wait for the ninth one. Okay, we'll let's go consider. This comes the Shri Kavikua, and we're not going to be able. Okay. We'll see what it's relevant. The relevance of the eighth and the ninth. We'll see.
The truth is, the nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is not really his nevuah. What happens is that.
But that happens to have also a hagdara of it's more than we'll maybe speak soon. It's more than a more clear. There's a way to be magdirit in the difference between the two.
It doesn't have to. It was never b'moshul. I mean, Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke.
Correct. But I will try to.
It was not
I will,
subject to interpretation.
Correct. He'll speak about it. Let's go through what he says and let's try to get some understanding of it. The most chosen of people, greatest of people, who understood more than anyone ever or will. His darga was so high, at shehisig hamaylam lachutis malachusis v'nichal b'malasim malachim. He was angelic. He was of angel-like quality. There wasn't a curtain that he didn't tear open and come and go in. No physical impediment, and no shortcoming, bin rab bin ma'at, and so on.
Is referring to the relationship?
Moshe himself as a person. He did not have any dimion in his imagination. And also his ambition. These are different emotional / mental faculties that the Rambam speaks about. Desire, craving, ambition. Venisha seichel bolvad, it was kulei seichel. And about this it said that he spoke without Malachim intervening, which it's interesting. It says Nemar Olav. I don't think the word Nemar Olav should be. It should say Nomar Olav. The Rambam is the one who says it. The Rambam is it's the Rambam's a point. Let's talk about this and let's understand this. So now it goes into a whole thing about how he was a greater person. His alusim and anushis, ashisik hamaylam achusis, and so on, lisha masach, and so on. Let's understand the Rambam. This is a nekuda the Rambam speaks a lot about, and he speaks about it in Shemana Prakim, more obviously. It's a very strong point at Rambam. He also speaks about Mishnah Torah. Let's describe what he understands, what he's saying. Imagine a person. A person who can't see. So all descriptions that you give to him of things that are seen, he translates somehow. Sharp is the sensation of sharpness rather than a pointedness, because that's the way he feels it. Colors, he has some ideas. People have painted colors in terms of what they represent and so on. So the person translates it into those terms. That's when we're missing something. Let's flip it around. We don't understand abstract terms as abstract terms. We need to give it some sort of picture, some sort of muscle. The safer of wisdom is called Mishle. For us, Mishle is what a third-rate maggid uses when he needs to spice up a drasha, so the mashal takes up the greater part of the drasha. That's part of the entertaining part of it. But the truth is, something conceptual doesn't sit with us because we need to be able to translate it in terms of. We can only understand it in terms that includes physicality. Let's take a mushel. Let's do a mushel for a mushel. When we recognize somebody's handwriting, we recognize it. A computer, there's no way you can put in a program. Well, just look at it and see if it's alike. It doesn't have what you can say is. What angle is the top of this letter? How wide is the arc of this? And so on and so forth. We are physical beings. And when we speak of ruchnistic things, pure ruchnius is meaningless to us. Minimally, we need words. And that's why Zohar and Kabbalah is full of terminology about right and left and top and bottom and feet and hands and all sorts of things. Because we need labels to sort of give it some identification. Most people, the vast majority of people, have a hard time with theoretical math because you're not talking about anything. It's one thing when the equation represents how many potatoes you have in a bag, and even how, you know, the sun going around, the earth going around the sun. So, okay, you at least the equation means something, has a picture. If an equation is just an equation, it's very hard for people to deal with this reality. And that's why most people have a very hard time with it. You know, pure legal language, you always want to hear, okay, now give me a for instance, as they used to say, Mama Lushan. Give me a for instance. It helps give it some body. Because we are flesh and blood, besides a neshama, there is no way we can ever relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words in pure form. So it always goes through some filter, or vice, not filter, the other way around. It always needs to pick up something. It needs to pick up some physical fleshing out for it to be meaningful to me. The more pure a person is, the less physical, the more what he understood is what was said, or what was displayed. If for us,
by the
Baruch Hu, right? By the Baruch Hu. So the Baruch Hu himself is non-physical, and everything he said is pure. So anytime, so just like when you have a lens, and the lens is not perfect, so the picture you get carries some of the aberrations. Just like when I need to simplify a message for people whose understanding is crude, you have to translate that language. I remember I was once with my brother-in-law, Binyamin Kalbach, and as I went collecting for some chaskal or something, and we'd go into the house of a balabas, a very fine yid. He was a Canadian yid, Hungarian from the Haim, well-to-do person, very nice person. That's very nice. Then he says, I have two chashviden, I need to ask you something. I have a granddaughter who is a mitzvienist in every possible, and I'm the one who's, I promise everything. They read a certain bacha. I wonder if he's a good bacha or not. And the bacha they read was probably the best bacha in yeshiva at the time. It's a name. So I say, how are you, Rav Nachum Shir? And he says, Rav Nachum Shir is this, and Rav Nachum is this, and whatever. And he's listening and smiling and smiling. Then he says, okay, but the main thing he says, could he make a laning on a blot gemara himself or not? And we were kind of I don't know what to say. My brother-in-law, who had his wits about him, told him, if when people hear that this bracha got engaged, it will be the talk of town. So that rang. Now he knew where the bracha was. I mean, all the stuff with Nachum Shir, and he said Chabur, and he says this. It wasn't language that meant anything to him. He translated into something that he understands, that when something is a big, you know, we're physical people, and we can only think, when we think of a pleasure, when we say something is a tainug, it's a pleasure. So we translate it to some sense of pleasure that we have a shaykh is to. And when somebody says it's a pure ruchnistic pleasure, I mean, we nod and we say, of course, but it doesn't mean anything. A cup of tea has up his shaykhs, but this doesn't have shaykhs. So the more coarse a person is, that the Rambam calls is a masach. It's a curtain that separates you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam in the second parak in Yesodei Torah speaks, what did Moshe Rabbeinu want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he asks, Har'enis Kvodecha? Isn't it that you can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he said, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't mean physically see him, but understand him in perfection. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo Yo'ani Ha'odom V'Choy, meaning, as long as you're living, the Rambam says, your Metzias is body and soul. And all information comes in through body and soul. And the ultimate reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can't be understood that way. It's not a lens fine enough for it. So Moshe Rabbeinu was someone that was so zach that he was pure in a way that nobody was, and that's what he says. There was no masach. The Nisha Masach Shakra, there was no curtain that he had, didn't tear out. So there was nothing physical that would prevent him from understanding it crystal clear. There wasn't anything missing. The word dimyon is something which it's translated poorly as imagination. In modern Ivrit, you know, Yeshta Beit Dimyon means, you know, he's got a lot of imagination. The word dimyon doesn't mean that quite. The word dimyon means likeness, like domeh, and it means the koyach that a person has of association, where you associate things that you experience with things that you already have experienced. So that is also a problem. So a person has a koach ha-dimyon, very few people can repeat exactly what the other person said. Why? It's not the fault of the memory, but when somebody talks, I hear like things, his words evoke certain reactions. And when I tell over something that somebody said, it comes with my flavor, with my additions to it. Moshe Rabbeinu, that was gone. It was pure seichel. And that's why, now, he also says, he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'loy emtsois min ha-malachim. The Rambam Shita is, and it's a very famous Rambam, Ramban brings it in Vayera, that Nevuah comes through angels, and angels are always associated with Nevuah. What it means is, a malach is the first step-down transformer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Knowing that a person who's not worthy can't understand the pure word of Hashem, the malach is a fleshing out of one degree so that I have a better sense of what it means. A malach is already a more defined version of the Dvar Hashem, which is infinite. And that so Moshe Rabbeinu did not do that. Now the Rambam says, so Moshe Rabbeinu we have is he's the father of Nevuah. In other words, he's at a place that is like the source of all Nevuah's one. Two, he himself had no obstacles whatsoever from understanding the Dvar Hashem in the perfection that it needed to be understood. Now he says, Ritzoni ha'i levai kan ze'in nifla. I really wanted to explain this well. To help understand many closed things in the Torah, I want to explain what does pel peh mean. That whole parasha of what is pel peh, but I realize that these are very, very fine things. I'm going to need a lot of rayas. I would need a lot of introductions, explanations, mishalim, and so on. So I have to explain what a malach is, and how a malach, the different dargis. I have to explain what the nefesh is. The circle will broaden. I'm going to speak about how the Nevi'im describe the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Malachim. And then descriptions about a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself that you have in the Psukim. It's a sefer that's going to start spreading out really long. Even if it's shorthand, it's going to be 100 pages. So I'm going to not explain it here, but I'm going to explain it in its place. And now the Rambam says, he brings a few sfarim he planned to write, but never, unfortunately, we don't have it. I wanted to explain all sorts of drushes. Or I want to write a sefer nevuah, which I think the Rambam, if I understand correctly, the sefer nevuah was subsumed in the more nevuah. Nevuah does spend quite a bit of time on nevuah, And so it's a good chance that that's what he means. Or I want to make a special sefer for all these inyanim themselves. But whatever is, we weren't zeichet to Rambam's other sfarim. So he leaves it at that. I'm not going to go into more detail. He says in the different madrigas and what creates distortions in the voice and so on and so forth. I'm going to leave that alone. Now he says, and this he writes in the Yisori Torah as well. There were four phenomena that Nevuas Moshe different from all the Nevuah. Now he's going to describe these four phenomena, and each one, again, we're going to try to find at the end why these are significant. In other words, the fact that you have these four nafkaminas, which Chazal say, they're true. But again, they're going to be relevant to the how it's different. Harishon, ki eze navi shehoya loydiba b'Hashem Yisparach el al dei emtsoi. Hakadosh Baruch Hu spoke nevuah only through emtsoi, which is a malach. That's the merivuchim shita. It's his shita. I'm not aware of others that have that as a shita. Umoyshe b'loy emtsoi, k'moyshe nema pe el pe adavavoy. So Moshe himself didn't come through any emtsoi, was per per davavoy.
That's after Harsina, and that's because the Sneh had a malach.
Correct. When we talk about the Nevuas Moshe, we're talking about Harsina. Okay. Yeah. Now I want to talk about this a second. Also, there's an extraordinary Orach Chaim HaKadosh over here. You have an Orach Chaim Chumash Bamidbar. It's worth saying it all. It's really, really an extraordinary Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Now, the normal sense of what he says over here is simple, that, you know, whenever you speak through someone else, there's always additions, subtractions. It certainly lacks the precision of yourself speaking. That's obvious. So that's a given, and that's pashut. So this is a mila when you get it directly, that you haven't lost anything in the translation.
Why does emtsoi have to be a malach? Can it be also like a clear vision, like a mushroom?
So in the Rambam, that's a malach. A malach is an emissary for a specific purpose.
How is it possible for a physical being to connect to the infinite? It seems that there's no... for everything else, to be a malach to be that conduit,
right?
Transformative means.
Let me just find this a second here. Okay, the lashon, the Orach Chaim has a little bit of a aura here. He says, so the Rabbeinu Bechai says, "Per pal davar kavona blayim tzos malach." So Rabbeinu Bechai is echoing the Rambam here. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says the following. He's sort of, what does it mean, peh el peh? You usually talk to somebody in his ear. You don't talk to somebody in his mouth. So what does it mean, peh el peh? V'digdek loyma el peh v'loy lo'izin. Hamaskal advar novi sha'oma leiv shemeh yedeh seda dova. V'zui hadragas nevuah she'en l'mayla mimenu. This is the highest dagger, is peh el peh. Sheyikshar Hashem nefesh navi b'mikor hamenabe, v'yishal shal nevuah pel peh. So let's give a mashal for this. Imagine when you want to record something. Let's say you have a cassette, and you want to digitalize it. So you can play the cassette and have a mic here, and the computer records it. So, I guess if you want to use the picture, it's going from the mouth of the cassette player to the ear of the mic and into the computer. It creates problems. It's not great. You lose something by it. What you can do is you can take the jack of the cassette player and put it straight into the computer, and then it's as it, what you get is as good as what came out. In other words, peh el ozen means that this peh el ozen to peh el peh is as follows. If I tell you something and then you go and repeat it to him, there's going to be an interpretation. But if you're a maisa koif balma and I tell you, say these words, and so I'm putting words in your mouth, I'm taking the words from my mouth, the ear means it goes into the air, through the head, out the mouth. It has you in the process. But if I tell you chazed this drasha and tell him exactly the way I said it, then it theoretically is going to be exactly the way I said it. Peh el peh, that's the words our Chaim HaKadosh says. It doesn't say peh el oizen. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koisha sheyikshar Hashem novi b'mekor hamenabe. The nefesh of the navi goes straight to the mekor of the menabe, which means the Sheirish in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yishal Shalavu Pelpeh. He becomes an extended mouthpiece rather than a stage of transfer to downwards. So Pelpeh Dabed, I think that what Der Chaim says is really what the Rambam is saying, that it becomes, it goes straight through Moshe without going through the Mahalchum of the Seichel and the Das and so on and so forth.
So that's why Eldad and Medad also says Eldad and Medad.
Yeah.
Because it's from the...
Eldad and Medad. Interesting. Yes, good.
That's
exactly. That's exactly what those words mean. Yeah. In other words, it wasn't processed by Moshe. It was... And it's interesting. You find in Torah in general... I remember when I was put out to Siddur Elias Hayom. There's actually a new edition is coming out tomorrow, Mitzvah. But when I started working, so I went through all halachas, you know, that I want to put in, and the lashonis of the Mishnah Berurah are sometimes awkward. The Mechaber certainly in Ramah is difficult. So I reworded it the way you would expect, you know, and then I reviewed it with an uncle of mine, Rabbi Graham, and it's big bal halacha, a big didaktikin, and he nixed it, and he said, if you take a look in Torah, the Rif keeps the Lashon HaGemara. He just cuts out the pieces that he feels are not Lalacha and attaches the pieces that he feels you should be seeing as one. Rarely does the Rif add. The Rambam takes the cases of the Gemara, it sticks to the language of the Gemara, unless he feels there's a compelling need to change it. The Mechaber takes the Lashon of the Rambam. Again, unless he's being cholik on it, there's a very clear mahalach, and he says, you never know what are included in the words that was said. Right now, I understand this. I might be missing out two or three pieces, and it's lost forever. So if you give credit to where it's coming from, that there are things inside it, you stick to it. The Gemara says, you know, people would say other things from their Rebbe, even if it seemed to be totally unnecessary, or he used a certain mashal, he used a certain example, so that's the example I give. But you don't know, anytime you change the words, you're adding an interpretation to it. And you're not sure if that's that. And it's probable when I have to pass, I have to do the best I can and look at the Mechaber and say, I think this is what Mechaber means. But when I'm trying to preserve it or pass it on, then I'm doing something wrong by it. So in Torah, the ultimate peh el peh was Moshe, where the things that were said went straight through him.
I'm trying to understand. The question hasn't really gelled in my head either, but along the lines of Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest madrega of Nevuah possible.
Right.
Everybody else needs to have Seichel with Dimyun, with all the other things, in order to grasp and understand.
Yes.
But there is a level which doesn't require those things, and you can have pure Seichel, complete understanding, without any of those, that packaging of Gufnius.
Right.
So when Moshe Rabbeinu gets Nevuah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he gives it peh el peh, meaning that the milim that we have right now is the, so to speak, the Dvar Hashem.
Right.
So I guess I'm trying to understand is that we do have a packaging.
Yeah.
So what is, this doesn't sound like the Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu got, because the Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu got would be a Nevuah that is so pure that Ulcher wouldn't have a packaging. So if we are now
the packaging itself is as good as could be. And the words, that's why you can darshan Torah in almost endless ways, which is not possible. You can't darshan a Ramban is Teres Emes. You can't darshan a Ramban the way darshan a Pasuk, because the Ramban is limited to a certain nekuda. Torah has a certain almost infiniteness in infinity in terms of you can look at the gematria, you know, you can look at the Kabbalah, what spheres are represented. You could look at the Musar, you could look at everything, and they all will come true. That's because it's a very abstract quality. When you take it down to your seichel, you give it a certain gvul, you give it a certain you specify a certain knach to it, and that's what it is. You limit it severely once you interpret it and once you give it its gvulus.
So what I'm trying to understand is, if right now a person has the Torah, he could read the Torah.
Right.
So I sort of feel awkward asking the question, but aren't we, in effect, getting the Nevuah, the Pe'el Peh, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself had? Or I mean,
no, we're not, because we're getting it. We have to give it words. I mean, for me, the Psukim without Hasbara doesn't mean anything, really. And I understand it. I understand it in a much rougher way than... Let me give you an example. Let's give an example. You're autistic. I know you are. So you can walk into this room here and say, it's not set up right. It should be moved here or there or whatever it is. I'll ask you why. So you may not be able to explain. Or you could explain to me. You say, you know, the bigger shape has to be in the middle. It has to, you have to have a certain amount of similar shapes on both sides, so there's a certain balance. The color, you could explain it in words, and I could possibly understand it, and I don't have such artistic sense, but I can just remember the klolim and take out my klolim book and apply it. But that's very different than your sense of walking in and saying, no, it's off. So you, it's the same thing. We both, once you've explained it to me, I have the klolim, and I can, and take a little longer, I can apply it, but I understand it differently than you do in a much lower madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Torah, he heard it the way it is, and it made sense in the words as the words are. I need to translate it in a way that makes sense to me. My pshat, my particular havana, my mishalim, and so on. So that's a very, so yes, every single one of us, when we learn Torah, we do our best to make it relevant to us, and in that process we're also severely limiting Torah and making it smaller. And that's why I would be amiss if I told you Torah the way I understand it, as opposed to learning the Pasuk or Rashi inside or whatever it is.
So when does the packaging come into effect? Does it come into effect when Moshe is giving to us, or when Moshe is receiving it?
Moshe, to the best of any human being, Moshe has received it package free. Moshe gave over the words, and that's why there's a big difference in the words of the Torah and the words of a Gemara. Gemara is very holy, but you can't darshan a Gemara. You can darshan the ideas in a Gemara, but you can't darshan words like you do, and you can't darshan Navi like you darshan Torah. The words, this is what Moshe gave us, this is what Moshe spoke, and they are the best a human being could possibly do. It is the ultimate clarity for a human being. And each time each one of us approaches it to learn it, we're taking it down. Yes.
I wonder, what was it like then, the Gemara in Erevin, when Moshe first teaches to Aaron, and then Aaron and the Zakenim, and then Aaron and the Zakenim and others.
Right.
So there, what sort of packaging was there? There already was ready off the page.
Correct. So my, and it's something interesting. The Rambam brings it by Richos, the beginning of Pirshais. The idea was that Torah could be transmitted from Rebbe to Talmud and still retain enough of it. I mean, Hagab Atzmacha. You know, a big chelik of Torah Shabbat Peh, we've had translated, you know, take a Google page and translate it back and forth from one language to another language. After six or seven flips, the thing is gibberish, you know. And yet we're able to take it down to us and still make sense of it. That was the beginning of a Masoros of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that's part of Torah Sheba'al Peh, is that the ideas at least remain constant to some degree. But that wasn't Torah Sheba'al Peh anymore, really. Torah Sheba'al Peh is written down, and we don't...
So your question... I thought your question was something different than the way Rabbi understood your question. I thought your question was, is this spin?
You're interpreting it.
Yeah, exactly. Are these words spin?
Yeah.
That was his question.
These words are...
This is Torah, though. That's
right.
The Tzur of Torah.
This is the clearest humanly possible Dvar Hashem. Nevi'im are already different, and that's what is a big difference. We'll see later.
It's not Nevu'ah, this is Torah.
Nevu'ah, Nevi'im, you must translate some of it as a metaphor. In Torah, you're not allowed to translate as metaphor.
Well, that's what I'm going to say, that if this is the Nevuah, so all of a sudden I'm Moshe Rabbeinu because I have shaykhus to the...
You're not Moshe because when you're hearing it, then you're not hearing it the way it is.
It's prior to the packaging.
It's just like when somebody says a very fine shiur, very deep ideas, and you see people walk away saying all sorts of things that... Really, the person never meant it, and because it was very subject to interpretation.
Right. It sounds that Moshe had the Torah prior to its packaging form.
But this is it. This is it. This is prior. When I read those words, I already put packaging in. But this is it's just like if somebody would print the clearest picture, assuming possible print. But when I look at it. I have glasses and my eyes, and I distort it. But this is the best product I could get, as closest to this is Dvar Hashem.
Is the answer to this question? This is the way I always understand this, and perhaps I'm wrong, but that this is not Nevuah, this is Torah.
Right. We'll see maybe next time. Does Rashi explain something between Torah and Nevuah? Mm-hmm. This is called Torah, and Nevi'im, everything after this is called Nevuah, and this Nevuah means. This was given over, and Torah means this is it. Zeis
HaTorah. But this is Nevuas Moshe.
Yes, but Nevuas Moshe is when you want to compare it to other Nevuah, it's Torah as opposed to Nevuah. Okay. Correct.
But
at the end of the day, yes.
Moshe.
Yes.
Right, so
okay.
When we say Pe'el Peh, right? So the Milim are the words that were, they basically went through Moshe.
Yes.
Right? So we have access to the Milim.
Correct.
Okay, but so there's something more than the Milim that Moshe had?
Moshe really understood the Milim as the Milim are, as opposed to us who already don't quite understand the way it's in the Makar. Moshe wasn't, it sounds almost as if Moshe, when you have a jack going from one to another, if I tell him, if I give him a drasha to Chazal to tell over you, he's doing really a Maisikov Ba'alma. That's not what Moshe was doing. It's Moshe Taka understood it the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands it. And he wasn't a mechanic. He wasn't just hooking up two jacks and fast. It could have been Swahili for him. He was a jack. His tfisa and Torah was identical. It's just like you find Chais Darizal writes, or they say Chais Darizal, that only Reb Chaim Vital's interpretation of his is what he meant. Everybody else were Talmidim. But if there's somebody who's what he says is what he meant, that's Reb Chaim Vital. It's the same type of thing. HaKadosh Baruch says Moshe's giving over is the preciseness of that. Every single time we hear it, we hear something different. We hear it a little different based on who we are.
So now, as a result of that, do we have Torah if we don't have the exact thing that Moshe Rabbeinu has? Because now that we have
Torah in front of us. We point to something, we say, Vezosa Torah. When we learn it, the higher dagger we are, the closer we are to it. The sharper, the resolution of the picture is perfect. Now we got to work on the glasses and the eyes, and that's up to us.
Words don't mean anything without the Torah Sheba'al Peh is really meaningless without the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And every time the Torah Sheba'al Peh is when Moshe heard it, he heard the whole Torah Sheba'al Peh, whatever Sheba'al Peh, exactly
right.
What every word meant.
That's the second part. Moshe also gave over Torah Sheba'al Peh. My sense is that that's the second part. And that's what Rambam in the Mishnah says. That Moshe also gave over the Torah Sheba'al Peh as he went along.
But that wasn't interpretation either. But
Right.
The Torah's go, or whatever the Torah Shabbat Peh has, we've lost it. It's not because it's not written. You know, every door has lost something. I mean, when Yeshua...
Reb Tzadik has this beautiful Reb Tzadik. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu heard Rabbi Akiva and his chaver being mefalpel, so he didn't understand what was happening until he heard him say, oh, this is a Lach Moshe Sinai, and then he was very happy. So he explains the pshat like this. You know, sometimes you're teaching something that you know, this is your field, and you know it perfectly well, and you teach a group of kids, and they're having a hard problem understanding, and you can't figure out what's the problem. And you're puzzled because you can't understand what the problem is. And in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu understood things so clear. The Gemara gets to the answer by deductive reasoning, by guesswork, by proving, not the way, it's like trial and error, sort of, which is very different than a person who has a natural intuitive feel for the thing. Like, I can't understand, why don't you get it that this is going to be, it's like somebody who's an experienced engineer or architect, and they ask him, well, what's the best way to lay out this room or to support it with the minimum amount of invasion. And says, well, a thing here and a thing here. And the guy who's a beginner will say, okay, let's try this. How much space do we have here? I'm going to say, this big. And I say, what's the problem? Don't you see? And the guy says, no, I don't see. I have to go, you know. The derech of understanding it through the Gshak Levitaria means we don't have an instinctive natural grasp for it. We need to weigh the sides. And that's a chisarin. And for us, that's the... Okay, that's... What? Reb Tzadik has a very, very...
It's not a pushes. It's not something pushes, that Moshe's feeling.
Moshe's Metzias was aligned to our Kaddish Baruch Hu's Ratzon in a way that it automatically resonated. He understood automatically what Hashem wanted, in the way Hashem wanted.
100%? I mean, is there nothing that Hashem held on to?
As much as that's what Rambam says. Mm-hmm. Absolute doesn't exist in this world. But that's what Rambam says. Even you, Moshe, you're still a living being. As long as you're alive, Lasid Lavo, you know, with Nana from the Ziv Hashchina directly, we have this sort of understanding that only a spiritual being, because we'll be spiritual beings. But as long as a person, as long as we're coarse and have some physicality, our understanding will be that way. Okay.
Then my father was in before about this being Nevuas Moshe.
Yeah.
I thought, again, just for clarity's sake, but I thought that there are parts of Torah which are Nevuas Moshe, meaning where Paravos, where Mamre Sinai, the Mamre Sinai itself, or wherever it is, that itself, you know, where Shul Lachem V'Aleichem, that itself is Nevuas Moshe, but every, you know, when it says Ve'el HaMishpatim Asher Tosel Lefneim, that's not Nevuas Moshe.
No,
That's Torah.
When the events happened, well, when the events happened, like Moshe by the snare, when it happened, he was still a Navi. He was only a Madreig of Nevuah. But when he gave us gracious Leinikol Yisrael that he got, the safer as a safer is this is a Kaddish Baruch Hu's version of the events, and that's Torah. Yeah. When they happened, where was Moshe? Depending on, you know, he was a young boy.
Right. See, there are parts of Torah that are Nevuas Moshe, but the Torah itself is Torah.
The Torah, if the Torah that we have is Torah. In the Torah, we have descriptions of Moshe at different times.
Correct, but to define Torah as Nevuas Moshe would not be correct.
Right, it's not the Nevuas Moshe.
But that's why the Rambam says the Nevuas Moshe is the highest Nevuah, because then if it's not all Nevuas Moshe, then there are parts that are superseded by other Nevi'im.
But this safer is.
Well, that's because it's the fundamental part of the passing down from generation to generation. In other words,
that any religion would accept as
right.
I can't top that. But when you start talking about Basar Mechala, if you start talking about other kinds of stuff, if that's not part of Nevuah's Moshe, then you know, then Paul's perhaps not as objectionable as.
But I didn't think that was Basar Mechala. I didn't think so. But
everything was the Michal, the safer that we have from Bracious to Leinikol Yisrael, the way we have it. In other words, the events that happened with Noach, there's Noach when these events happened to him, And then there is the understanding, the hashkafa, so to speak, of what was happening. That's Torah. In other words, understanding that Noach was his tzaddik, and understanding that the details, the perspective of it, which is what the sefer is. That's Torah, and that's to us. It has the dark of Moshe's nevuah, which is the clearest. For us, it's absolute clarity. It's not absolute clarity in terms of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but for us it is. That's
part of the Eighth Iker.
What?
That's part of the Eighth Iker where he says the way it came.
He's right. The fullness of it, when we see the next Ikrim, I mean, we still have more to do here, but when we see the next Ikrim, what about the Torah's Moshe itself, more Chelik and so on? Do we have a minute for Meyer?
We should.
We have 10, yeah.